Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're the word association.
Heard.
The implication.
Dessert.
Evaluation.
We're the word
association.
And we heard.
The implication.
Dessert.
Evaluation.
We're the word
association.
Okay, gentlemen, welcome to your couples massage. If you want to just each lie down on the tables there.
Okay. And lengthwise or?
Preferably, yeah. It would be, there is one point.
Okay, I'll move then, yeah, because I'm
really
hard to balance.
There is a point where I'm going to have you will be turning the other way.
Table. Okay.
Yeah, you will be doing that later on, but I need to get you loose before we get there. So if you could just both lay down.
Okay.
Okay, great. All right.
And then and this hole in the middle of the table, is that where I'm supposed to put my arm?
Eventually. Yeah, it's not right now. Hmm. No, that's how I do hand massages.
Oh, it's like a cow, great. Like a udder mm-hmm. situation.
Exactly. Yep.
And then do you just like race between the two of us?
Nope.
Like
you each get
like
one
Mrs.
arm.
Doubtfire. Have you seen Mrs. Doubtfire?
I have seen Mrs. Doubtfire. It's my third favorite movie.
Remember when, I don't remember the character's name, Robin Williams?
When he puts his face in the pie and he goes, hello.
Yep, that's what I was going to talk about. That's it's
you mean oh more so like racing between having to change back and forth
no.
between Mrs.
No,
Doubtfire
not at all.
And, no, you did
no,
mean
I
face
meant
the
face
pie?
In the,
okay. Are you also going to massage me from above, like Vincent D'Onofrio in The Cell, where he hooks himself?
Oh, my fourth. That's
he
my
hooks
fourth
himself
favorite
onto
movie.
Hooks and
no,
hangs freely
no.
above his victims.
No. I specialize in couples massage. One person gets the right hand, one person gets the left hand, but it's going to feel like two hands are on you. Okay, that's how good I am.
I specialize in couples massage in terms of, I've had a couple massages. Sorry, I had to sit up.
That's
I had
good.
To sit up to
No,
laugh.
I haven't
Sorry,
heard
I'll
that.
Lay back down.
Wow, we have a regular Robin
now, I
Williams.
I see here you have a warning. You have like a warning things that could happen in here, and it says that sometimes you get a case of the dead arms.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen while you're massaging people? Your arms just fall asleep and you just
they do.
Get them octopus style, it says?
I do. Yep. So it's actually, you know, like the Russian, the bamboo, or the, you get slapped with the, or the, maybe not bamboo.
You're not rushing me out of here faster
no.
than you need to be.
But I do want to mention the clock did start when I say lay down on the table, so we are at 57 minutes of your massage.
Oh,
right now. So really,
okay.
we would love
booked,
to get started.
Good thing we booked three-hour okay. massages.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And just let me know if this pressure is all right.
Dun 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 dun.
Do you like the music? Is that okay?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like something a little bit more relaxing than David Bowie's.
Oh, this
pressure.
Was Ice Baby.
Oh,
are you sure? Because it sounded
yeah.
like it was
no.
dun 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 dun.
No,
it
you just have
different.
To let it play.
I
have
to ask. You mentioned mm-hmm. Mrs. Doubtfire is one of your top movies. You mentioned The Cell with
Third.
Jennifer Lopez was number
four.
I gotta hear one mm-hmm. and two.
Oh, I would much prefer them to come up organically,
okay.
but...
All right, stop. Massage and listen. Wait, is this you singing?
It is.
A different
yeah,
version?
Yeah, I did a little Weird Al. I Weird Al Ice Baby to a
Oh, so
massage.
Then you probably love UHF?
It was okay. I would say... yeah, I would say top 200, somewhere in there.
Interesting. Okay, I thought I was really going to help you out there and give you a one or a two on your list.
No. I mean, you can't put that up against Mrs. Doubtfire or The Cell.
Well, I know Vanilla Ice was on the soundtrack for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze with Go Ninja Go.
Go Ninja Go, great song. One of my top 20 songs.
Now I got to know 1 through 9.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is this pressure okay, though? Because I'm needing you right now, right? Is this okay?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah,
do you want
like
a little more?
On the piano.
I mean, two hands would be great.
Yeah.
But I know.
Well, but then if then I got nothing then.
That's the rub.
Ah.
Right? I've got to do.
Do you think you could suspend yourself between the two of us and go hands on one and feet on the other?
I can for a while. It's a pretty active plank. I think my abs would give out, but I could try it for a couple of
minutes. Like Van Damme in Time Cop. Remember when somebody shoots a taser at the floor and he does that? He does this.
Oh, and he does the splits. Yeah, that's a great movie. That's in my top 30. For sure. For sure.
Could you maybe do like Karate Kid Crane? And you go two hands up and then 1 foot up.
Here's what I'm going to say. Colder. You're getting colder.
Colder.
These movie
Fargo. The Ice Storm.
No. That wasn't a hint. I was just saying.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You're off. I personally, if we're just talking about this, I don't like movies set in the winter. Period.
Oh, here.
Because I don't like winter.
Here's something I'll say is, you know, you said there's the rub. Obviously, the name of your business is Here's the Rub. And then in parentheses, there's the rub. A play on Shakespeare. So I'm guessing one of your top two favorite movies would be Shakespeare in Love?
Also, why didn't you just call it Rub Whites?
Yeah. Well,
why would he call it that?
Yeah.
Because his name is Rob White. Why would he not call it Rub Whites?
Wait a minute. You're the Word Association's Rob White?
Well, I didn't want
you
to find out like this.
Rob, it's Brett and Adel.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is so embarrassing.
So we were going to be way off because we weren't going to guess that stupid River Cops movie.
Striking
distance. We were never going to find your fucking one and two because they're garbage movies that no one's ever heard of before.
Well, this is really embarrassing, but I do owe you guys like a lot more massage. So,
how about what do we probably have like 54 minutes left of massage? Can we just can we just have you on the podcast?
I mean, I guess I've got all this lotion on my hands, but yeah, I'll just towel it off.
That seems like a you problem. I think it doesn't really matter that your hands have lotion on them. We're going to be speaking into microphones here.
Oh, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah, I guess I'll do it.
I guess I'll say I'm once again Adel Rafai.
I guess I'm Brett Lyons.
And I guess I'm Rob White.
And this is bum 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 ba da bum bum. The Word Association.
Hi.
Pure Moods. How many times as a kid did you see the Pure Moods trailer?
So many. I mean, amazing amount. I mentioned this previously. I did just have a massage recently, and it was all of that. In my head, I was like, I wish they took this exact tone of music, but someone covered famous popular songs, but kept it in that spa-ish type.
Oh, like Muzak, but for massages?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like,
so you're saying like...
But when you said in my head, I was thinking like that zombie song would be a good massage song.
Oh.
With our tracks and their bumps. Yeah, but they need to... also, that song is always on a lot of people's like Halloween playlist. And
it's not a Halloween song.
You need to listen to the words.
In name only.
It has nothing to do with Halloween, my friends.
In name only. Any Four Non Blondes song? I would love a yes. I would love any sort of massageification of like a harder song, so like Power Man 5000.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
this is what it's like when worlds collide.
Yeah,
but it's like a soothing, relaxing.
Correct.
Song.
Yeah, I feel like I would be less in my head about what's happening if like I was like, oh, okay, I enjoy this music, but I like that I can kind of go along with it in my head, you know, it gets me out of my headspace.
If I'm choosing, I would like a massage, like the pressure, like the finger to be like TV theme song. So like the intro to Cheers, but feeling it massaged into me, like dun, 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 dun. What's like the Mr. That. Belvedere one?
Scratchers on the China. Never burn them before.
Yeah, before it kicks into that, like the little piano. Axel Foley, that would be a nice massage, right? Reinhold. All right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up that'll be my thing. I'm going to open up a massage
called Rub Whites,
and it's just going to be TV and movie themes.
Each massage is 45 to 75 seconds.
Yeah. Actually, change the name, because if it's Rub Whites, it's going to be very confusing signage.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Rub everybody.
I think Here's the Rub is just fine, and it'll be a massage / barbecue place. And I think people will like it.
Brought to you by.
Love eating ribs while I'm on my stomach getting massaged.
Oh yeah, now because you can use the towel. Do you want coconut oil? There's a eucalyptus, or we can do this Kansas City dry rub.
Now, Rob, we've been here 45 times in the first week of your business for people choking.
And here's like the weird, like, and I massage low and slow.
Ooh, nice.
That's how you get the juices out of you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. Just scratch that.
Finger licking.
Leave it.
Adel, do you have a word to kick us off this week?
I do have a word. My word, well, in the UK, it's pronounced theater, but you might know it as theater.
Oh. Do you do E-R or R-E? How do you like to spell it?
I do it E-R.
I do it E-R.
Although I know it works, Ari,
Speaking
but...
Speaking of TV theme songs.
Yeah.
ER.
Oh, how did the ER themes... I watched ER all the time. I don't know.
All right, stop.
Theme.
Operate and listen. Doctor's back with a brand new edition. Chicago Hope. Not anymore.
I never realized how many TV thongs were written by... Theme songs were written by Vanilla Ice.
I mean, almost every single one. He did a version, at least.
I definitely
all right,
do.
Show me that smile again. Never. I can't make the Growing Pain song work.
Oh, you could do it.
And if you threw a party, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. I definitely spell E-R unless I'm in London, and then I spell it R-E. Because I'll be like, oh, we're going to this theater, yeah. And I have to...
And then I'll...
It won't show up, and then I'm like, oh, I got to put R-E, and then it shows up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like if you go to a movie theater, it's E-R, but if you're going to see Hamlet, mm-hmm. it's R-E.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys ever work... I mean, yes, we all worked in an improv theater at some point. Did you guys ever? So I worked in a movie theater when I was.
Brett, my dear boy, Rob and I didn't work a single day at an improv theater because when you do what you love for a living, you never work a day in your life.
Well, I don't think Rob loved being the teacher administrator or not
I
teacher
did.
Administrator.
That was,
I mean,
was
you
a
liked
lot of
it,
work. But, yeah.
But that was actual work.
It was. Right.
Also, let's be fair. We didn't really ever get paid, so we can't really call it work.
Rob got paid.
Well, it was my job.
Well, we did, but most people don't. So that's why it doesn't work for that. So you never worked at a movie theater, any sort of like any other type of theater?
No, just did like restaurants.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I
never did a movie theater. Liked going to the movie theater. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Did you do the thing when you were, I did this all the time, where you buy a movie ticket for like a G-rated movie or a PG and you sneak into an R?
Oh, yeah,
do that
for
all
sure.
the time.
Or go like see three movies in one day when you nothing going on.
I've never done that. I've
oh,
always,
you've never done the double feature?
No, I bought a ticket. I bought a ticket, but I snuck in.
I always
my,
planned
the rule.
Very much. Ahead. Like I always knew, like I was seeing my first movie based on what the second movie I wanted to see. So there was little to no downtime for a quick get away into the other theater.
Mm. Smart. I know Rob and I were theater majors.
Mm-hmm. One of them. I like to throw in there was also a communications major. To really,
apologies.
It's a brag. It's a brag.
A brag in the sense of I've got 2 degrees that don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I will say, so I worked at, this was just like a summer. I worked at Steppenwolf Theater teaching improv to the like summer program there. Erica Elam, who we all know, I think she usually teaches it, and then she had to do something else, so she brought me on to do that class, which was super fun to do. And my sister Sadia had taken, maybe around the same time she had taken classes at Steppenwolf for whatever, and she had a substitute for one of the classes, and she told me the story, which is maybe my favorite theater story of all time. She told me a story which was this substitute teacher for the acting program was like, let's go around and I'm going to ask you a question and you have to like be vulnerable and tell me your answer. And so she went to the first person.
I don't like this.
She went to the first person, and it was something along the lines of like, say there's a fire in your house. Any pets you have or anybody else who lives in a house has made it out safely. That aside, what's the first thing you grab? And the actor who answered was like, it would have to be this picture of my uncle, Jeremy. And he, I never really got to meet him, but there's a picture of him holding me when I was a baby and da 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 da.
Yeah.
So it's like a 5-minute story, the person sobbing by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Substitute teacher goes like, amazing. Next person goes to someone who's one away from Sadia and said something along the lines of like, if you won the lottery and all the money had to go to anyone but you, where would it go? And the person goes, oh my God, I've actually thought about this. My grandma, Beverly, she grew up, you know, during the Great Depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 5-minute, 6-minute story. Person, the actor's in tears by the end of it. And they're telling, mm-hmm. They're not acting. They're not improvising. These are right. personal questions. They're being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. They're acting.
They're acting. Third question comes, and it's to Sadia because she's the third over from the end. Third question comes. The substitute says, this is for an acting class. The substitute says, if you were a donut, what type of donut would you be and why?
Oh, my God.
And Sadia,
didn't plan ahead with the questions. Came up with two great ones, and then was like, ah, shit.
I would be a superior donut. Superior donut because I love Tracy Letts so much.
Yeah, what can I see from outside this room? If you were a taxi cab.
What did she say? Did she tell you her answer?
It was something along the lines, I'm not getting all of this correct, but it was something along the lines of, she was like, red velvet. And the teacher like kind of guffawed and went, why? And Sadia goes, I guess it's like a little treat. Like she kept just speaking to be like, hopefully I stumble upon something.
Right.
It went very poorly. She only answered for like 20 seconds. They moved on. And after or during the break or something, the substitute was like, can I talk to you for a second? And was saying like Sadia wasn't taking the class seriously or not respecting the teacher as a sub or whatever it was. And I was like, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard.
100%.
Like,
yeah. Those are the kind of theater classes where I would just be like, is it over yet?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do that either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man.
Have you guys been or grow up with a drive-in theater in your town?
No. Mm-hmm.
Or go to them?
Never been.
I don't remember ever going to one and like it going off without a hitch. I feel like every single one I've ever been to,
it's hard
like,
to find the radio station sometimes.
Well, the radio station or it doesn't come in clear or it's about to start and then the film.
You've seen Hitch
like,
every start. Time you went to a drive-in?
Yes. Yes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to,
Dude, Hitch every I have two time. Very specific drive-in memories. One, we were going to a drive-in and in Short Circuit was
Ooh,
playing
nice.
And The Great Outdoors was playing.
One of my favorites.
I really wanted to see The Great Outdoors. Yeah. And my mom was like, no way. Let's go see Short Circuit. She's like, I don't want to see this. Great. I was like, The Great Outdoors looks so good. She's like, I don't want to see this, please. And I was like begging, screaming. And she finally gave in. And we were watching it. She's like, oh my God. She thought I was asking to see a nature movie.
Oh.
She didn't know it was the
like
a John Candy
movie.
It was a great, first time I saw it. It was a great movie.
That
movie
rules.
It was a huge argument because she thought I wanted to go see like a nature documentary to drive in. And the other one
was. And she didn't think Short Circuit was like a science program or something
like
that?
No, she knew what Short Circuit, and I like Short Circuit too.
Oh yeah.
And the sequel, I mean. But I like the first one too. But the other memory I have is, it was a double feature, Twister and Sudden Death.
Oh,
and
Twister's spooky to watch in a movie theater too, mm-hmm. because of what happens in the movie.
Sure.
What a drive-in you're saying, right?
What I remember about that one is I was talking to my dad and I was like, they've got to really, what's going on with the screen here? Everything is so blurry. And he was like, what? I was like, everything's so blurry. This is ridiculous. They've got to like fix
you
this,
right? You were crying,
right?
Rob.
And he was like, okay, I think you actually need glasses. And that was when I learned I had to go to the eye doctor to get glasses.
I wish you would have been crying, because there's that moment in Sudden Death. There's a moment where Jean-Claude Van Damme is secretly has become the Penguin's goalie, and he looks to where his daughter is seated and makes a sign. I can't remember what the sign is.
To let her know that it's
him, mm-hmm. and she starts to cry. And I remember me as a kid watching that being like, what a dad.
That's I great. Mean, there's more sad parts of Twister
no,
than there are.
You haven't
no.
seen Sudden Death?
Sudden Death.
I've won, seen Sudden no, Death.
Filmed in Pittsburgh, and it also had Luke Robitaille, my favorite hockey player. Was it had a line in that movie where he said, "What are you guys, Democrats or Republicans?" And he goes, "We're Canadian." Good bit. But I do want to go back because I have a theater story. I remember that. So I had a theater criticism class. Was one of the things we had to see a show. We had to write like a review, like you would in a paper, like an actual review. Mm-hmm. And there was one that Christopher Durang was doing this new Christmas play, and it was premiering in Pittsburgh. So there was one girl who was a theater major who was in it, and she brought one of the other guys who was in it. It was called like Mr. Bob Cratchit's Something Wild Christmas Binge or something like that. I'm butchering the title.
Mr. Really, Wild really rolls off the tongue there.
Bob Cratchit's, it was a takeoff on A Christmas Story. So he was like in the thing, and he looked like so familiar. And then he had mentioned he was in Black Dog, and I was like, "Oh, Black Dog! I love that movie." He played Patrick Swayze's son in Black Dog.
First time you'd ever heard that.
I think it was. I think it was. But anyway, I was a big fan. I was like, "Oh, Black Dog's amazing."
That rules. I don't think I've never heard of Black Dog.
Yeah, it's Patrick Swayze drives a big rig.
I think you're talking of Over the Top.
Nope, that's another good big rig movie. Yeah, it is Stallone.
Rob, you, I don't know if this is your experience. I feel like if you were a theater major between the years of like 95 and 2003, you probably saw or did 100 David Ives or Christopher Durang monologues. Every audition I went to, it was The Philadelphia by David Ives, which is the bell. It's like someone says something and then they ding and they retake it, which is where the improv game comes from.
Oh.
Or it was a play by David Ives where like two people are...
Oh, it wasn't Tom Hanks's monologue from Philadelphia?
Next up is Brett Lyons. Okay, it says 5'3", willing to shave. And you're going to do a monologue from Philadelphia whenever you're ready, Mr. Lyons.
All right, stop. AIDS
no,
don't listen.
Come
Philadelphia
on,
is back right. with a brand new edition.
What is Christopher Durang? Was he... Wait, I don't... Was it? Who, did he write Noises Off?
No.
No. You're thinking of that was Dodge Durango.
Noises Off was like the hacky one where they said, no, you shouldn't do a monologue from it because everybody does Noises Off. But I've never seen or read Noises Off. And I actually don't know who David Ives is. Maybe I wasn't a great theater major. I don't know.
Oh, gotcha. It also might just have been my school, but everyone did Ives or Durang.
Aren't, and we all grew up in the theater, aren't theaters like... dark theaters at night, like, just so creepy. Like, I know a lot of times they keep that, like, they always leave, like, a lamp.
Ghost light.
Like, the ghost light.
Oh, I see
what
you're saying.
But, like, I remember, like, late at night, like, the Del Close would be completely closed, and I'd have to walk through it because I left something
in the green
annex or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd walk in there, and it just is quiet, and it's just quiet and, like, spooky when those lights are off.
And for the listeners, that was the IO Theater, at the old IO Theater.
Oh, yeah, the old
Close
one,
Theater
yes.
was the on the second floor.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was, like, normally people would be hanging out in the downstairs theater, the cabaret, but all the lights would be off upstairs, and it would be pitch black, not even a ghost light.
I have a theory about this, actually, because every theater I've been in at night...
Oh, and his ashes were in there, which I think people...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I have a theory, which is because I get ooged out every time I'm in a theater and it's night or it's dark or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on. My theory is a theater specifically is a room where there is a known, we all agree that there's a known focal point. So it's like if you're in the audience and the theater is dark, you keep looking on stage being like, is there something? Because you're used to something being on stage happening and you're like, did I hear something up there? Is something going on? And if you're on stage... you're used to the audience looking up at you, so you keep being at the corner of your eye. You're like, did I see someone sitting in a chair over there? So I think it's just emblazoned into our, laminated into our brains.
Yeah.
That there's a focal point that, depending on which space you're in, you assume there's something else. There's an energy going
on. Yeah, it's also just like, it's a vast room, too, where like the acoustics are really good usually, too. So I feel like any creak or any, like, because I used to work at the Chicago Symphony. And, like, I'd have to go into the theater all the time to, like, check a seat or something, like, if a seat was broken or just a sight line or whatever. Same thing in, like, the other theaters, too. And I worked in the LaSalle Bank Theater, which used to be the Schubert Theater, which
quite a history
famously,
of working in theaters.
Yeah, famously, the reason why theater doors must open out now is because at that theater they opened in and there was a fire and everyone died because they couldn't push the doors open.
Where is the Schubert?
It's on Monroe. It's where Hamilton was at, Monroe and State Street.
Monroe is not in Hamilton. Madison's in Hamilton.
No, shut up. But yeah, so that was a big thing. Like so many people died in that, and so apparently, like, that theater's haunted because that's the same site. It was built on the same site.
And then Gary Larson made a Far Side about it.
He did, and it school for the gifted, yeah, exactly.
We did in my Illinois State University, which is where I was a theater major. We did a production of Macbeth. I had to make sure I wasn't in a theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise you have to say the Scottish play for uninitiated.
Sure.
So we were doing Macbeth, and one of the cast members who was playing, I think maybe he was Banquo, he said Macbeth in the theater and like in a fuck you kind of way, because the whole thing is like, you're never supposed to say it. You're supposed to say the Scottish play, because otherwise it curses the production.
Right.
He said it, and we were all like, wah, wah, that's, oh, well, nothing's going to fucking happen. About a week later, we're doing stage combat. He fell off of the top of the set. We had like a raised set with a stairwell and then like a thing up top. He fell off the set, broke his leg, and had to get like screws in his leg.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh no, I am never, never fucking with that again. Goodness.
Did you sign his cast, Macbeth? You should have just written his cast.
Or Get Beth Cooper.
What was that movie?
Get Beth or Soon?
Get Beth, something Cooper. Something Beth Cooper. Did you ever have something in a play go just like very wrong?
Like, yes. Forgetting something?
Not like forgetting a line. Because I was in this play, it was very weird. It was this late. She was a graduate student. She had done like off Broadway stuff in New York. She had written this. It was one of the summers in Pittsburgh while I was in college, and we put it on there. It was called like "And Then There Was Nin," which was a takeoff on an Agatha Christie thing. So it was like a whodunit. But she took it in like a campy, weird way, where I played a character named IKEA, who dresses up in different costumes to go into IKEA because he always said he was missing a part so he could eventually get the entire piece of furniture for free. That kind of thing. Anyway, doesn't
matter. I love Agatha Christie, yes.
Yes. So I come on right after this guy dies. His name was Cappy Cappuccino. He worked at Starbucks. And he had like foam in his mouth from it, and it got wet on the floor. The previous night, I guess, somebody had waxed the floor, which I didn't realize. So there was water on the floor, and I'm supposed to grab this Darth Vader helmet. I know I'm selling this play pretty hard. Not going to explain why, but Nin confronts me, the character, and I have to grab the Darth Vader helmet and I run away. Is what's supposed to happen? And she was like, "Be very careful of this. I paid like $400 for this Darth Vader helmet. Like it's like a really nice version of whatever this thing is." So I had that in my mind. So I grabbed it and I went to run, but it was right over that slick spot on a freshly waxed floor. So I just went like straight up in the air and down, but I held it like a football. I wasn't going to drop the Darth Vader helmet. And I was like, holy shit. I got up to try to run again, fell straight down again. I fell four times and I had to crawl off of the stage. And there was a guy who was like in the audience, another guy that was in the show where the light went right on him because he had a line. He was sitting in the audience and he was like, after he was like, I was just dying laughing.
Yeah. And then you had to keep it in the show for the rest of the
run. I talked to somebody after that show and he was like, I was like, what did you think? He's like, it was good. He was like, if I'm being honest, I was like, yeah. He goes, I thought the pratfalls were a bit much. Oh. I was like, that wasn't part of it.
That wasn't part of it, man. I was going to say, based on your Mad Libs description of what this play was, I have to assume that was the funniest part of the whole show.
Yeah, there were some funny parts. It was meant to be like very campy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wasn't like
as a send up.
Yeah.
My senior year in high school, we did, my junior year, we did Bye Bye Birdie and I was Mr. McAfee. Loved doing that. Mm-hmm. And then my senior year, we did Robin Hood the Musical, which is something high schools that don't have a lot of money in the
coffers.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Exactly. High schools who can't pay the royalties do that. So we did Robin Hood the Musical and I was Robin Hood. The show culminates in this battle between Robin Hood and the Sheriff of Nottingham. We had wooden swords that were painted with like metallic spray paint. So we're fighting with our swords. My sword in this particular night broke in half, like the wood just broke.
Oh.
So I threw it aside and I went to whoever was like playing Will Scarlet or whatever. And he gave me his sword and we were battling again and my sword broke again. So two wooden swords have broken on this night. And the guy who's playing Sheriff of Nottingham, Mark Young, who's a wonderful dude and was eventually a college roommate of mine, mm-hmm. he just is kind of standing there not knowing what to do. And so I turn to one of the villagers who's like lined up to watch the fight, and he's holding like a hoe, like a garden hoe, because they all have peasant utensils.
Of course. Sure. You don't leave home without them. You just carry them around to let everybody know.
No, you don't leave hoe without them for sure.
It's the 1300s master guard. So I turn to him and I say, hand me your hoe. And I say that not thinking. I mean, I'm a 17-year-old high school kid. I'm not. Of course, afterwards, I realize what I said. But at the moment, I just mean like, give me your, you know, hand me your hoe. And everyone started laughing and like my face flushed red.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to do like the cable guy.
Right.
What's the Robin Hood Men in Tights when they keep with Little John, they keep breaking the wood and it gets smaller and smaller. We had to do that kind of fight. And then eventually I like punched him or something and like knocked him out. And that was how we ended it.
If that kid would have had the wherewithal to go, no, you can't have my wife, but here, take my stick. He'd be a king. He'd be a king among men if he was that quick.
Brett, if only we had gone to the same high school. Well, let's ruminate on that. And gentlemen, please, it is now intermission.
Oh.
Please leave your playbills on your seat.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Have yourself a snack.
We're back.
My word today is ventilation.
Ooh, ventilation. A wonderful kid's name.
This is my son, Ventilation. Do you have, both of you live in houses, do you have central air, central heat in them? Have you ever, is it noisy when it kicks on?
Yeah, the heat is definitely, yeah, it is noisy.
Yeah, this was the first home I've lived in a very long time that, like, when the air's not on, when the air's on, I can't hear it. Like, I feel like everywhere in Chicago I lived, if it had central air, was like, oh, we have to turn up the TV when the air's on because it's fucking so fucking loud.
Yeah. Well, they're like they're old-ass houses. I know,
but they always were never, so Chicago places don't have basements, a lot of them. So like your HVAC was like in your hallway, like when you walked in the front door, at least in the places I lived in. So it was just like, it was always like right there.
We have upstairs, we have central air, and then downstairs we don't. So I don't know if that's still called central air or something else.
You have it upstairs, but not downstairs?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they're old houses, so they had to put them in. So
I guess,
They didn't fully
do it. Our upstairs is an
addition,
yeah.
This is the first time I have dual zone, which is great.
I don't even know what that means.
That means my downstairs is controlled by one and my upstairs is controlled by another one.
That's
so like if it's cold upstairs, you're not heating downstairs for no reason. So that's very nice.
Well, if I ever sell my house, this is not a selling point, so I guess no listeners will buy it. But you know, I'm in a bungalow and you know, your upstairs is basically right under the roof. And we do not have dual zone. We have one zone, and that's on our first floor. And the second floor, where my bedroom, my daughter's bedroom and a bathroom is up there. It gets so hot in the summer and it's so cold in the winter.
Oh, I bet.
There are a few months where it's just right. But in the summer, it can be like you just go up the stairs and you feel a 10-degree difference.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's tough.
Did she sleep with like a fan in the summertime?
See, that's a contention. I don't like fans. I don't like having we do have a fan. We turn it on low. My wife would love to turn it on high, but it's too much air. I don't like it.
Okay.
Like a low, okay. A low fan is okay.
I think a big issue with all that stuff is usually the temperature gauge is in a place in the house that you don't care what the temperature is, where that's at, but that's where it's measuring the temperature. Right. Like your thermostat unit is the thermometer. So I had an Ecobee for a long time, and that was nice because you could put little sensors in rooms and it would average the temperature to turn it on. But other than that, it was like, oh, this is a terrible spot because I don't care what the front hallway feels like. Adel, anything you want to add on that?
What is the thing? What do you call it? So you go into a bathroom. Could be at a business, could be at someone's house. You go into the bathroom, there's two switches. One switch turns on the lights, the other switch turns on what?
The
what
fan.
Do you call that?
Exhaust.
The fan? Exhaust. Okay.
What do you call it?
It's something okay. I never thought about it. Like anytime I went into a bathroom as like a kid or something, I would just turn on both switches. Mm-hmm. And it was just like you just turn them on and then like there's the noise.
A stink
and
stopper.
Here's the thing. As I got older, people I knew would be like the fart fan or
really?
They would have different names for it. Oh, yeah. So it's like, oh, that's to either, maybe when I was in college, people talked about it. They'd be like, that's either to mask the noise of your dirty, dirty business, or it's to suck out the smell of your dirty, dirty business, or it's both. And I was like, oh, I never really gave thought to it or like, had anyone tell me like this is exactly what this does or the name of it or anything. So that's something that's always like been a little mystery to me, and it's very dumb and very silly, but I
think it's also supposed to be too for like
shower, right?
Like
that's what I thought it was
steaming
for,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because we have one in our guest bath downstairs, and there's no shower in that bathroom. So I agree with Adel, like in some places it's to mask the fart noise, the poop noise is coming out, and to lose the smell.
Do you know my grandfather, literally, he always lit a match. That was like his move. Have you heard about
that? In the bathroom?
Mm-hmm. After you're done, you light a match to try to mask the smell. When you're
yeah,
done.
The sulfur quickly. That's good. It's a great idea, but then you always know, always letting people know that you just took a shit.
He used to always, because they didn't have a bathroom on their first floor of their house. The bathroom was upstairs. And he would go upstairs and he'd be like, all right, I got to go see a man about a horse. That was just he said that all the time, and that's one of my favorite sayings of all time.
That's
I gotta go see
good.
A man.
That's
about
a pretty
the,
good
about
yeah,
a horse.
Euphemism.
We growing up in the house I grew up in the basement, like the toilet water tube was like exposed, like it wasn't behind a wall because our basement walls weren't finished. So if you were hanging out in the basement and like someone used the toilet upstairs, you could just hear the water flow through it so quickly, and you'd be like, oh, it just was unfortunate that like you never could hide that you went to the bathroom or anything like that. Not that you would should have.
Well,
to,
yeah,
but.
I will also, I guess I'll add this story because I have no shame. I don't care. But there was one time.
As long as it's not about your wife, because she will
she'll send an email.
Send the story back
to
destroy you.
This is just from my brother. One time I was leaving a bathroom, like I had gone number two. Everybody does this, not a big deal. So I'm leaving the bathroom and my brother was going into the bathroom. He's like, Jesus Christ. I was like, what? He was like, it smells like somebody took a shit in here 2 days ago. I guess I have like weak smelling, like he just was unimpressed. He was like, it's a faint aroma.
That's amazing. I'm going to keep putting my sister on blast here. I won't say what theater. Sidia was working for a very prominent theater in America, and she had seen her friend who was in a show she was in. They were in rehearsals or something, but she saw one of her castmates who's like one of her best friends or something go into the bathroom, and then maybe a minute later she went into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And there's five stalls, let's say, and one of them had the door shut, and she walked in and jokingly was like, ah, smells like fucking shit in here, nasty little shit, or whatever she said, something along those lines. It was like laughing. Mm-hmm. And clearly, it's just like, we're friends enough that we can fuck with each other, and this is a fun little whatever. Right. She goes to the restroom. As she comes out, the stall door opens, and it's one of the heads of the theater. And that woman calmly walks to the sink, calmly washes her hands, calmly dries her hands, and walks out without saying a word. And Sidia bursts into tears. And
no.
I think messaged or called me, and she's like, I fucked up. I fucked up. But Sadia has a lot of very good theater stories.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love a bathroom where the door connects to the ground and the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
The pure privacy is amazing.
Outstanding. Oh, and I should say
it's
very quickly.
Usually hotels are like that.
I should say very quickly, her friend ran in to like grab tissue and then left. So just so people don't think she was befriended by a ghost.
Gotcha.
Yes, there's, especially if you go to like I feel like a lot of nice restaurants, like the three of us have been to a few restaurants where it's like, it's not even stalls. It's like you go into a room and it's like built into the wall is different private rooms.
Yes.
That's the best feeling where it's like you're in your own little room. Nobody can see you. Nobody can hear you. It is the absolute best feeling.
The door flips from green to red, so no one even needs to like check the handle.
Every bathroom door in a public place should have that. Every single one. So you don't get
number
the
one
handle
pet
jiggle.
Peeve. Yes. My number one pet peeve is going to a bathroom somewhere, a Starbucks, a plane, whatever it might be. I open the door. There's no line at all. Mm-hmm. I open the door. I go in. I shut the door. I turn on the lock. I start to do my business. Within 20 seconds, someone is jiggling it, trying to turn it.
Mm-hmm.
5 seconds go by. They try again. 10 seconds go by. They try a third time. I start to say something of like, hello, or whatever it is.
There's someone in here.
I finish my business, whether that be 2 minutes later or 4 minutes later. As I come out, there's a line of people. the worst thing in the world. This is my absolute nightmare. It's the worst thing in the world. It's happened to me so often. I hate it. I've also had where I come in and I need, for whatever business I'm doing, I need the seat down. Put the seat down. It is drenched in
piss. That's disgusting. Yeah.
I, of course, and sometimes I'll come in and the seat's already down, covered in, drenched in piss. I'm just using the sink.
Yeah.
And I... Even though
you're using the sink to go to the bathroom?
No. I just want to wash my hands.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
I want to use the sink. I'm going to use it for 15 seconds and or 20 seconds and I'm done. I can't leave because I'm like, the next person is going to think I fucking did this.
I grab a ton of toilet paper
and I methodically clean off the toilet and the floor around it and then double check to be like, is there anything I missed? Yeah. And then I leave and I'm like,
I would have
I
done
do
the
that
same.
As if it's a unisex bathroom, I do the exact
same. Because you don't want the shame of somebody thinking it was
shame.
You.
Yeah, it's also, or if it's like you only have to go number one and the person in there before you destroyed it.
Yeah.
And like then you go in to pee and you're out quickly, but there's someone in line waiting to get in and then
they think it's you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you could do about that. You just have to wear it.
There's nothing you can do.
You have to wear
it. It wasn't me. Yeah.
Okay. Please.
I was just going to ask, because Brett, you said something. So if somebody knocks on a bathroom door and you're in there, you reply, there's someone in here?
Usually like, yeah, someone in here.
Okay.
I usually say, coming.
Because I do. It's funny to say like, there's someone in here. Because it makes it sound like you're saying there's somebody other than you in there. There's somebody in here.
There's somebody in here.
You know what I do? Because I don't know. I don't say that there's somebody in there like one moment or something. I just go,
yeah.
Because I feel like that gets the point across.
No, I don't want to have a conversation.
Well, I think they don't
want
either.
To be like, how long you going to be? And you can be like,
ever responded to the yeah. They take that as somebody's in there. But
it's universal, like, fuck off. Yeah.
You should do the voice from Mortal Kombat, when the guy, when you put on the cheat code, and it would just be like, whoopee. I think that'd be funny.
Toasty.
Is it toasty? Did he say toasty?
I think so.
Whoopee. You're right. I think it was toasty.
Actually,
whoopee.
You know what you should say when somebody knocks? You'd be like, come on in. Come on in.
The water's fine.
The water's nice.
So my worst ever bathroom experience was, and I've been to a lot of clubs and bars where like you never in a million years want to use the toilet. You can't. Okay. You just can't. Yeah. It's just a thing. So I was at the Cheesecake Factory at the base of the Hancock Tower.
Okay.
And I was with a group. I was with a girl that I was starting to date and a group of like her friends or whatever. I didn't really know them super well. It's kind of maybe like the second time we went out. And I had on khaki pants.
Uh-oh.
And I had to poop really bad. So I ran to the bathroom, got there, and that was all fine. Put my pants down. Didn't realize that the toilet was profusely sweating on the bottom. So I went to the bathroom, and when I pulled my khakis up, they were completely soaked. just drenched with water.
Maybe in the toilet's defense, maybe it was nervous.
Yeah, maybe.
You hear somebody rush in and sit on you.
Yeah, you're like,
sit on your face.
Oh, I got to accept this load. Oh, I'm so nervous. So either way, I was wearing like a button-up shirt with an undershirt underneath. So I took off the undershirt and like tied it around the khakis.
Oh.
Yeah. And like then untucked my shirt. So yeah. I just tried to make my like everything as long as possible and covered. And
so
I was
your choices are you have to look like you piss your pants or you have to look like the most uncool grunge guy.
Yeah. I just had
hey
to
guys,
escape.
Do you like Nirvana?
I just had to escape. So I got out of the restaurant and I was able to sneak past the table and I walked two blocks to where my car was parked and just fucking randomly I had a pair of jeans in my car because I think I was going to IO later or something and I had a pair of pants and I ran, came back to the restaurant and I was gone a long time. Yeah. She's like, what happened? And I literally was like, the door got locked and like I had to call the attendant. No one was like, hey, you're wearing
jeans. No mention
jeans.
Of the jeans?
Oh,
that's
no.
So great. You were gone.
It was amazing. It was like I got away with it. And then I just left the pants in the parking garage, just like in a corner because I was like, this is like toilet water. I can't unwash this.
You went it's to gone. You went to the bathroom in khakis and came back in jeans 30 yeah. minutes later.
Yeah. It was a while. And I made my lie was I got locked in the bathroom.
Oh, I'm, you know, I love that ventilation has really got us to all this toilet talk, and I apologize for anybody's, but I do feel the need to share my worst story of this.
Sure.
Please.
Which is, I was in Boston. A friend of
already
mine.
Already an issue. My already
friend,
a problem.
A friend of mine was getting a car from a relative. And so it was like spring break or something. So I was home from college, and he was like, hey, do you want to fly to Boston and drive this car back with me? And I'd never been to Boston. And I was like, yeah, sure. What the hell? So we go there. We're staying with one of his cousins, and his cousin was like, we've got to go get Thai food. And I was like, okay. I hadn't had a lot of Thai food at that point in my life. So we go, and he's like, I'll order. That did not sit well with me, but whatever. I was a guest, so I was like, great. I guess you order. He ordered everything that was just insanely spicy. All this spice food. I'm drinking water. It was so hot. Then we're going to a friend's of his house that was in like Cambridge. I don't remember where it was, but it was outside of Boston. So we're driving in the car, and it hit. I had to, like, something was happening, right? To the point where I was in the back seat, I had both of my hands down, like pushing up. My butt was hovering. I had like I could not put any pressure, and I was like embarrassed. But I was like, "Hey, man, I think you're gonna have to pull the car over." He's like, "What's wrong? Are you sick?" Yeah. And I was like, "I don't know what happened. I think it was the Thai food. Like, I don't think I can. I literally don't think I can hold. This is like an absolute emergency." And he was like, we're almost there. We're almost there. And I was like, I'm almost there.
Asshole. Yeah, asshole move yeah. there.
But it was like, okay, fine. So I don't know how, but I summoned the strength to hold this in. We get into the house. We walk in. It's on this first floor. And there were all of his, like these friends of his were there. And I was like, do you have the bathroom? And he was like, yeah, it's upstairs. I was like, okay. So I just go upstairs to this house. And like the basement was sort of like a hangout room kind of. And like the upstairs was like the real living area. Mm. Open the door. This guy's mother, father, and grandmother were sitting on the living room floor praying, I think. And they were doing something. And I was like, oh, hi, I just need to use the bathroom. The bathroom door was right off of the living room.
Perfect.
And I shut the door, and it was a very loud event. Embarrassingly loud event. But it had to happen, right?
Sure, 100%.
And I know they're right outside the door, and they're going, what is this kid doing? Who is this guy, number one? We've
deep
never
in prayer.
Seen him before.
Yeah.
He's who is now, this guy, number one? Also, number what's two. Happening with this guy, number two?
So I flush, I look out, and I go, have a nice night, and I just left. I was mortified, and I was helpless, nothing I could do, no way I could mask the noise, had to happen. Just the absolute worst place to do it. It was so embarrassing.
Oh, that's brutal.
And well, that leads us to your
ventilation.
Word, Rob. Yeah, so Rob, that leads us to your word email.
It is, and I do have an email.
This episode will be as long as a number two.
That's all right. We have.
Yeah, it's fine.
Listener word suggestion. Hello, twats. I've been listening to the podcast since it first started, and I think.
Wait, hold on.
I thought I'd get away with it.
Mail! Sorry, I had to poop out some mail. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. Ooh. I've been listening to the podcast since it first started, and I think I have a good word for you. Ornery. So, the reason I think this word is good, because it has different meanings for us in Kansas. We say ornery, and it means to be mischievous or up to no good. We use it to describe an uncle who pulls pranks. Moving to Michigan, ornery apparently means a crotchety, disgruntled old man. Please tell me what you think. You can use my name for the pod. Very respectfully, Carrie Lynn. So thank you, Carrie Lynn. And our word is ornery.
And I will say, for our listeners across the pond, ornery means horny.
Do I make you ornery?
Do I make you ornery, baby?
I agree with her second one. That's how I've always known it as
yeah, that must be like a Kansas, ornery, you're being specific thing.
Yeah, you're being a crotchety old person. Why are you being so ornery right now?
Mm-hmm. My grandma would say, well, she would say ornery, which I guess is a different pronunciation of it, perhaps.
Almost like a French Henry.
But she was she was born in Minnesota, Minnesota Swede. Mm-hmm. And she would say
that sounds
in terms
like a
of
pool
like,
player, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great.
What are we doing here? Minnesota Fats meet Minnesota Swede. But she would use it in a way of like, what are you kids up to? You're up to mischief. So she would use it in the sense of like, what secret dealings are going on? Why are you what good are you up to? No good are you up to? So I think that was the first sort of definition of it. And she would also say Davenport, like get off the Davenport, and that was what she called a couch. Mm-hmm. So there was a whole, she would say stop wrestling.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Roughhousing, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Regionalisms.
I don't think I've ever used the word, to be honest.
I have, but basically only for the crotchety.
It feels like a word a novelist would use to describe a character. He was an ornery man. You know?
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, I just.
What popped in my head was the guy who opened up for Seinfeld on his Orny Adams.
Oh, Orny Adams.
Oh, sure. Yeah. From Comedian or?
Yeah, from Comedian. Yeah, that's how I was like, why did my. That's like, that's what popped in my head really quick.
Mm-hmm. I think what popped in my head was another name, which is, and I don't know if I have this right, I think Omri, O M R I, is the name of the kid in Indian in the Cupboard, if you ever read those books.
Never read the books. Saw the movie, but I don't remember.
Didn't read the books. The name. Didn't. I saw the movie.
Do you think you'll be ornery when you become older? Like a lot older?
Absolutely.
I'm almost there now.
I think our generation and every generation below us is it's going to be very weird to see these old people. Meaning us. I feel
it will. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
To be like 80 and we're like talking about Vampire Weekend or something. Like, it's just going to be weird.
It's going to be weird, because, I mean, from our parents and their parents, like, the changes, everything, technology was so insane, but now, while we will have technical changes as we get older, we understand, like, where they're coming from, because it's not net new.
Sure.
Like, we get that, like, oh, we might not have a phone anymore, we might talk to, like, VR, and there's, like, holograms. We're like, that we can fathom. And it might still annoy us, but like as our
in
parents,
my day,
it
was, Tupac was a hologram.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. But it is just crazy of like the things that my parents and my grandparents are annoyed about. Like, they just came to existence. Where things I'm annoyed about is just like something that I know will just a technology we have will just happen more. And like, I don't want that to happen.
In my day, we had Skibidi toilet, and we liked it. It's all we needed.
And now you have Skibidi Bidet, and it's not as good.
Yeah, I think that there's something, I think there's a little bit of a truth to that of like the technology of it is at least we're a little bit familiar. But it will be, I mean, just think of all the, because like old folks now, or not even now, or I'm thinking in my time, it was very much like button up shirts tucked in, maybe a cap or something.
Oh, you dressed loafers. Up. You dressed up. You dressed, to go
exactly.
On
you
flight.
Never. Well, I don't think I.
You smoked on a flight.
I don't think I literally have ever seen either of my grandfathers in jeans ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
For our generation, it's going to be everybody in like poly walnut style tracksuits.
Everybody's going to be wearing like joggers.
Yeah, it's going to be
and wearing Apple watches,
Adidas sweatshirts.
Rob, your kids are young, and my daughter's too. It's just like. There's no way when she turns 15 or 16, which is in 13 years, that like the phone we know it will be a thing.
Oh, no.
Like the iPhone as we know it, like it'll be like a wearable that like you'll turn your hand over and then like it'll just appear in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
It will, it'll get so smart to the point of like you don't have to do you literally don't have to do anything.
In my mind's eye, I think I'm less concerned about what future technology holds because our generation. has some sort of tech fluency in terms of like,
yeah,
we grew up with some amount of computer, we grew up with smartphones, et cetera. So mm-hmm. if they just build off that, I think we'll either adapt or there'll be some things, there'll be some apps like TikTok where I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, we'll just be out. Yeah.
Yes. But my concern is like getting to a place where what Some Like It Hot was to me as a teenager yeah. or a kid, Billy Madison will be to someone else or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like yeah, I try and make insane. My grandkids sit down and watch Billy Madison and they're like, this sucks. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
This is so slow and weird and it's in regular color and not
3D or whatever.
6D
or
whatever.
I've got news for you. It still works with kids because I've shown my kids clips. I know the whole movie is not safe for kids, but that scene where he peed his pants kills my kids. They love it. And the shampoo is better conditioner. They love that
it's
too.
It's not you that's going to be the issue. It's when it's when your
you
kids
know, that's true.
Show their kids or their grandkids what we're talking, like that's where it's going to be like.
Right.
Where Uncle Buck or whatever we think is amazing, or Home Alone. Like right now. Yeah.
Only Macaulay Culkin movies.
I mean, right now, my nieces love Home Alone. They like recite the thing when they jump into the lake or whatever. But like when they show their kids and so on, it's going to be like, what the f-? It's going to be like, this is insane.
We're going to be, the three of us will be next to each other in like hospital beds. We're going to be 90 and there'll be some tech that's like, next up on Golden Oldies, Die Antwoord, Ninja. And we'll be like, oh, yes, I remember Die Antwoord.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I know you don't, but it's okay. Oh. How about Du Hast by Rammstein? Is that better?
That? Oh, that was a song? I thought you were saying a movie.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, he was talking about Ninja.
Chappie. Chappie would be the Die Antwoord movie.
Yes, that's correct.
You ever saw that?
I did see that. There's also like stuff that like I'm ornery about now of I really don't want to do the Apple Vision. I don't want to do any like wearable thing that puts me in another world because I don't want it to like be comfortable yet, where I think that's where it's going to go in 10 or 15 years.
Probably.
I bought an Oculus Rift or whatever it is, and I think it's cool. I think it's very cool.
I know it's insanely cool, and usually that's something that I would be down for. Now that like I have a kid, it's almost like I don't like I'm already kind of like I spend too much time like in my downtime on like Instagram or TikTok now. I don't want to be able to go into another world because then I feel like then I'll really be wasting my time.
I feel like I'm closer to just disconnecting with those kinds of things because I've already like TikTok I don't do, like I'm out on that. I'm just resisting all these things. I feel like
I would try to do it as long as you can.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not. I have no temptation, but I'm close to getting rid of Instagram too because I feel like it's a waste of time. So I feel like I'm closer to just going, you know, wherever I am now, I'm good. The world can keep going. I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And I
cash
think that's
out
okay.
while you're up.
I think I need to though. Like I wish I could get rid of those things, but the problem is like, I think I have to, and I've talked about this before, I would love a phone that showed me sports scores and like I could order an Uber on and
they
I could text.
I they know, have phones that are like two things.
I really would love that because even though I've like tried to delete stuff before, it's just so easy to get back in, you know, get back into just quickly to do it.
It's weird to me to already, and we're, I don't know, for like 18 years removed or whatever it is. It's weird to me to, because I have an original iPhone that I bought at the time and used, and I just have it in I never traded it in or whatever. Ooh, so it's just
like
sitting in
the
like
first edition.
It's heavily used, so it's not like,
but
it's not
it,
worth
is
anything.
Is it the iPhone 1?
I think so, but it's not. I mean, I don't think it's worth anything.
I disagree. I actually disagree.
But it's weird to like, when I move to find that box and go through shit and like hold it and be like, blech.
Yep.
Look how fucking disgustingly, or even like a Motorola Razr. Like I have like a Razr.
I found my Razr recently.
And to hold a Razr and be like, blech, blech, this, ugh. How did anyone ever type on this? How did anyone play Solid? This is disgusting. Can't even access email. It is so weird to 20 years later, 18, whatever it is, to that short amount of time later, be like, this is disgusting. And to think about like whatever the Apple Vision is or the Oculus Rift or whatever, to be like in 20 years or maybe even less time, in 10 years time, we'll look back at these groundbreaking items and be like, ugh. It's like playing a ColecoVision and then you buy a PS5 and you're like, yeah.
Dude, we're fucking, all three of us are, I'm in a different state. You guys are in different places. And like when video chat came out for the first time and you're like, there's no way this will be good or bad. Like, just like we're doing it right now. Like it just, everything that's new starts out bad. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is like in 10 years from now, God forbid we won't be doing this podcast, but maybe we will be. And like,
God forbid, Brett. Shut wow. up.
Words won't be a thing. But I'm saying is like, it'll be literally like we'll be in each other's houses, like hologram, like fucking, like I'll be able to see you, like, and I'll be able to see in your. It already exists. That's what I'm saying. Is like,
yeah.
We laugh about it now, like that's crazy. But like what we're doing right now, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. was fucking crazy.
Yeah, but I will. I know we're running up against it on time-wise, but I will say...
time is linear. It's not a thing anymore, Rob.
I think, for me, my ideal, when I become an old man, I want to be like a happy... I want to be like the nice old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be crotchety. I don't want to be ornery. I don't want to be the guy like, oh, here comes Rob. Like, he's just going to order his coffee and a donut or something. Just leave him alone. Don't talk to him. You know, I want to be that guy that, you know, just is nice and waves to everybody like, oh, there's old Mr. White or whatever. You know,
there's
I think
old
I'd like,
Rub White.
Old Rub White. Old Rub White. Because I do, I'll tell you what, I am a sucker for those movies when speaking of Home Alone, like where you think that old guy is really mean, mm-hmm. but he turns out to be like not any kind of mm-hmm. turn like that tugs at my heartstrings. A big sucker for that kind of stuff.
I hope you just carry, as an old man, Rob, I hope you just carry a snow shovel around and just, you're yeah. waiting. You're just like, please, someone try and fuck with someone.
Old
else.
Man gone good.
Like a reverse Gran Turismo?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A reverse Turismo. Yeah, a reverse Turismo. I like it.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Well, if you are not ornery and you want to reach out to us and ask us a question, we will try our best to answer that question. You can send us an email at twapod@gmail.com. And now is the time where I review the words. And the words, since we're running short on time, you know, sometimes the world's at stage and life is a theater. And hopefully that theater has good ventilation so you don't all get trapped inside
mm-hmm.
and you don't become ornery ghosts who roam the halls of the theater wishing what was.
It's too cold in here, boo.
I liked it better when they did the classics.
How much does it cost for popcorn?
Where's my VR machine? Back in my day, we had VR machines.
I made a mess in the skibbity toilet.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.
In my day, Tupac was a hologram. Okay, Grandpa.
In my day, we had skibbity toilet and we liked it. That's all we needed.